And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
Oh, brother.
Yes, sir. We're here.
Oh, man.
It's been a little while. I know we record on Saturdays, so we've been thinking all week about the draft, keeping at the top of our minds, and here we are.
That's
ready
right.
to talk about it. How's your week been?
Oh, man. It's been so good. We usually, summertime, we don't have a lot of sports, especially jazz stuff to talk about, but we got stuff to talk about this week, so I'm so hyped.
That's true.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. We have an exciting episode today. Obviously, if you're not tuned in with Jazz or doing NBA draft was this week, Jazz made a lot of noise. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some NBA trades. We'll also talk about other winners and losers from the draft. And of course, we'll close out with some local sports, Utah Hockey Club, BYU.
Make sure to follow us on all the podcast platforms. We're everywhere, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, Amazon, wherever you find your podcast. Give us a good rating, and then check out our past couple episodes. We've gone over a lot of the rookies, and we'll be continuing to do episodes throughout the offseason here and there to get you ready for the upcoming season.
And this is episode 76 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, I love that we have some time to think about the picks. I've been thinking about them the last couple of days, kind of get my opinion, and here we are on Saturday, be able to talk about it. But
that's right.
If you could describe the Jazz's draft in one word, how would you describe it?
Oh, man. Prime time. That's probably how I'd describe it. Jazz were like kind of a boring draft, but for the Jazz, people were paying attention.
Yeah,
that's for sure. People are talking about the Utah Jazz right now, and it's awesome. We love it, and not for bad things.
Yeah, for sure. I would say confident.
Okay.
Too.
Okay.
I think it's from what it sounds like the guys we picked were the guys a week or two ago.
Yeah.
And we had a plan, and we executed that plan, and also we didn't give as much slack to Ace Bailey's.
Yeah,
tactics, or as rather, I think it's more his agent's tactics than him.
Yeah, I also think we talked a couple weeks ago about Austin Ainge's comments about the Jazz not tanking anymore, and I don't know if I believed him. I still am a little skeptical, but I will say the picks in this year's draft, I think, like, were consistent with that comment. Like, we took the best players available. We traded up to get guys that we wanted. And it wasn't just like project guys like we've been taking. So
yep.
I think it's pretty awesome.
Well, and I kind of see this draft, and I put it together with the last two or three other drafts.
Mm-hmm.
And you think last year we took Cody Williams.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I was pretty high on Cody Williams. I thought it was a stellar pick.
We thought it was good.
That we were going to kind of have an up year. But to be honest, last year was not a great draft for us.
No.
And then you think the year before with Taylor Hendricks, I don't think any of us expected Taylor Hendricks to come in and dominate from day one. But really, we haven't seen much from Taylor Hendricks either. But I think this year we should see what we... Honestly, Absolutely. Those two or three games that he played last year, I loved it.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming this year it'd be good to have him back. But really, you think about the two drafts before this one, so-so.
Yeah. I agree.
So I would argue that this draft is probably the one where I, as a fan, I come out the most excited from. And then Walter Clayton as well. I don't think we'll talk about him. But I think just overall this draft, you come out most confident of the past 3 years.
I totally agree. I think last two drafts, I think Jazz got kind of lucky with some picks. I mean, you know, I'm sure that they knew the guys and were excited about the guys, but our best pick 2 years ago, Keontae, maybe Bryce Sensabaugh. Last year, Isaiah Collier, Filipowski. Neither of those guys were our first picks in those drafts.
We were just happy that they landed to us.
Yeah.
We didn't even have to trade up for them.
And with our actual money pick, we kind of botched it. I don't know if that's the right word, but we didn't do what we would hope to do with those two top 10 picks we've done the last 2 years. So I think this was a good. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, so anyways, I think there's totally reason to be excited for this next season. And even if we're not like super competitive in the West, because the West is crazy, I think it'll at least be a fun year where we can see the guys grow and develop throughout the year.
Yeah. I think starting with our, well, it should be a first pick, but it's actually the fifth pick, unfortunately. For those of you who weren't aware, Ace Bailey didn't work out for a single NBA team. He kept saying he was focusing on basketball, what he could control, which doesn't make a lot of sense. But as far as we knew, he didn't want to play for the Jazz, didn't want to play for the Hornets, the Sixers.
It seemed like he wanted to drop to six.
Yeah. He was willing to give up some money to go to a spot he thought was good for him. But we have the Angels in charge, and they do not care.
Yes.
They do not care about the drama.
And it seems like the executives around the NBA totally respect the Angels.
I think so, too. Yeah.
And I think this is in character for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Jazz take Ace Bailey out of Rutgers. What are your first thoughts about the pick? Were you disappointed, happy?
So I guess I was wondering if the Hornets were going to maybe take him.
Yeah, I thought
as
maybe.
Well, because I mean they could have done the same thing that we did and just absolutely. Ignore the rumors.
Absolutely.
So kind of on the board, it was either Ace Bailey or Trey Johnson for me.
Yeah.
And personally, I was kind of turned off by Ace Bailey's rumors.
Me too.
Last year or last week when we did our mock draft, we were both kind of like. Not as invested in Ace Bailey. We knew he's a good player, but we kind of thought the personality could be tough to deal with the Jazz. So to be honest, I was kind of a Trey Johnson guy. I know a lot of people were Trey Johnson guys.
But yeah.
Now that I've had a couple days to think about Ace Bailey, I'm happy that we took him over Trey Johnson just because of the ceiling. Because Ace Bailey's been a top three prospect all year long. The only reason that he fell was because of his agents. And really, he's a much better fit for our team than Trey Johnson because we've already got so many guards.
Absolutely.
And I think he'll come in and he'll have unlimited potential. He's like probably the draft pick over the last 3 years, he has the highest potential of any guy we've drafted.
Yeah. I totally agree. I'm kind of on the same page with you. Before Cooper Flagg reclassified, I believe Ace Bailey was kind of the consensus number one pick in the draft. Also, a couple months ago, we were talking about if somehow we could get Ace to drop to five, that would be an easy pick.
Yeah.
The drama made it a little, little nerve-wracking. Mm. I still think I'm a little nervous about it. I do think he's best player available. I think he has a lot of ups. I was watching some clips and just the way he plays is very KD, just super long. But like he
difficult
can
shots.
Shoot over anybody. Yeah, it's super hard to stop him. The situation it kind of reminds me of that I'm worried about is if it's going to be a Carmelo Anthony Denver situation where it's like, I think it was always believed in Denver that Carmelo was going to leave at some point. Like he played really well for Denver, but he wanted to be on the Knicks. And then of course it happened. So I do wonder how long of a window we have with Ace, but I hope that.
But I mean, you look at Melo on the Nuggets, and those were some good years.
They were.
Like,
they
come
were.
On, man. So I think Nuggets were happy to have Melo for even short part of their career they did.
But I'm sure with the top five pick that you're hoping a guy you can build around for for a decade and a half. But I think there's also apparently the Jazz flew out Walter Clayton. Usually they fly out the rookies the night of the draft. Ace Bailey didn't fly out with him. Apparently, the Jazz said that this isn't a problem, that he just has to be here Monday for summer league training camp. But it is a little nerve-wracking. We still don't really know how Ace feels about playing for the Jazz. We've heard a lot of things, but I guess only time will tell. So,
and I've seen some reports that are like, it almost feels like the agents are like, never mind.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't want to play in Utah. Oh, now he does. You know,
right.
It's like they kind of just have to flip flop because it really, in my opinion, I think it was a media strategy to try and get him to travel.
Could be. Yeah.
And now that we took him, we were talking about this on the car ride over. He doesn't have much of a choice. He's either going to play for us
or he won't play
or he's not going to play.
Yeah.
So I think we hold all the cards. So I don't see
any
reason that he wouldn't play.
Absolutely. And if it's true, I don't really understand the logic of not wanting to play for the Jazz. It doesn't seem like it's a market thing because he wanted to play. He was okay in Washington, which I guess is kind of a bigger market, but not really. It's not really that much bigger than Salt Lake. Anyways, but Jazz are a perfect situation for him. We don't have a guy who can create shots, who takes a lot of shots. We also don't really have any guys at his position that he's competing for. Yeah. I think we have a good roster around him that could compete whenever we're ready. At least compete for maybe playoff spot, play-in spot. So I just think it's a perfect situation for him.
Oh, yeah. Like, so. He fits right in like a glove. We've got all these players that are, like, have potential and are young that don't play his position, except Cody. But
yeah,
this should put a fire on Cody, hopefully.
I hope so.
And then I think the real reason is he probably just doesn't know anything about Utah.
Yeah.
Like, we're kind of isolated from the U.S., right? Yeah. We're not really in the West Coast exactly. We're not really in the East Coast at all, Midwest. We're kind of just stuck right there in the middle between the two. And so a lot of people don't really know much about Utah. But I think once he gets here, he'll see the team fits him well. He'll probably enjoy the Rocky Mountains.
Absolutely.
I heard that he likes fishing. He'll probably find that we have a lot of good fishing here.
Good spots.
So I think once he gets here and once he like sees it, he'll love it. It's kind of same thing, I think, when Jordan Clarkson came. Like, he probably wasn't so sure about it. Now I think he wants to live here after he retires.
Yeah. And we love, like, us as a basketball community, we wrap our arms around guys. Like, we make them our guys. Like, I really feel like we do that here in Utah. So it's like, he's going to learn that we're going to love him if he's going to come and love us. And so I also think it's like, I think it was kind of dumb on him and his agent's part to not work out for anybody. Because I think you kind of tell teams who you want to play for by who you work out for. So if you want to dictate where you go, then you should have worked out. So it ends up like this when you don't.
And I heard Austin Ainge mention that. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned, like, they talked to him for quite a bit at the combine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so he kind of argued that it's not really a uncommon thing for guys to not work out.
Well, to not work out for anybody is kind of crazy.
For anybody, it's fair. That's fair. Yeah. But I would argue, like, you see him at the combine, that could be enough. It doesn't,
that's true.
You don't have to work out a guy in your building to draft him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially when you start getting to second round picks, like, you can't work out all those guys. So you just have to pick who you like.
And you've been probably scouting him for years.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Well, should we move on to the next pick?
Yeah, let's do. I think
so,
this one's less
Walter
controversial.
Walter Clayton with 18. I've heard a lot of like analysts, NBA analysts like this pick.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
Let's maybe start with his strengths. Obviously, he's a champion. And I think the biggest reason why this pick is, like, good in my eyes is because I think that he's going to bring a great personality to the team.
Mm.
A lot of the guys on our team are introverts. They haven't seen winning in a couple seasons.
Yeah.
And so I think it's brilliant to bring in a NCAA champion, Walter Clayton, who's going to come in. He's going to want to win, first of all, and then he's going to be vocal and help these guys turn things around.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm still a little skeptical about the pick because I'm just not sure fit-wise. But I really do like Walter Clayton. I had Maryland going to my Final Four in March Madness, and one thing that I saw from Walter Clayton in that game, and was that Elite Eight, I think, to get to the Final Four, was I think they were down by like 10, and he's just like a game manager. Like, he keeps his team calm, he makes the right play, he's a great shooter. And
he can shoot on the move. Yeah,
absolutely. And those are skills that translate to the NBA most of the time. So I'm really excited.
Yeah. And I think pretty much everyone before the draft said that whoever gets Walter Clayton is going to probably be happy.
Yeah.
And he is a few years older.
Yeah.
That's a little knock. I think he's, 22?
Yeah.
So a couple years older. And then he's also undersized. And so you're going to probably see him get hunted on defense at times. Just any player at that size is going to have that. Brunson had that. Curry has that his whole career. Like, that's just how it is for some of these guys. But I'm sure he's probably not going to start in the starting lineup at the season. So I'm guessing on second unit, you don't really have to worry as much.
I would guess as of right now, he's probably, unless Keontae just permanently plays the two now. I don't know. I'd be surprised
possibly.
If he's... I think another thing, I heard Danny Ainge last year talking about how you know, in the draft, you take guys who are, you know, older than 20 because they're ready to play right now, compared to younger guys who you kind of know you're going to have to help out. And so it sounds like Jazz want to get him so that he can start playing now, which is awesome. I think that'd be great for us. So,
yeah, and I also think this could open up a trade.
Yeah.
I've heard some rumors of Colin Sexton getting moved. He's arguably our best player last year. Yeah. 20 a game, just great.
Clarkson and Collins, but those rumors have been going on forever.
Yeah, Clarkson and Collins. I've heard the late Lakers talking about Collins, but
yeah.
I think that does open up a trade. It's probably going to be either Sexton, Clarkson, or heck, maybe even Keontae if the Jazz are not sold on him.
Maybe, yeah.
But
do you think this pick was... one thing we forgot to mention, Jazz traded up from 21. We threw in a second. I think that was all it was, right?
Three seconds. The 43rd. They're like 2030 and 2031, okay. And then our second.
So three. Do you think it was necessary? I think he might have been available at 21. Maybe not, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on
it? I don't think there's a chance he's getting past Miami. He had two workouts with them, canceled all his workouts after, is the report I heard. And also, like, he's... played in Florida.
That's true.
Loves Miami, so he wouldn't have minded going there. So I think the Jazz saw, like, there's no shot he's going past Miami. Now. And so I heard that they were actually calling every team until 18 to trade up. So they probably would have drafted him even higher if there was a trade that went through.
Yeah.
So I think, we wouldn't have got him.
That's fair. I do think when I saw the pick, I was a little disappointed because there was... we'll talk about it in a minute, but there was a lot of guys falling in this draft. After like 11 or 12, the draft got a little messy, I feel like.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there was a ton of guys available that we didn't think were going to be available. So I was a little disappointed initially. I do love Walter Clayton, though. I think you could do much worse. We don't really need those second round picks.
I'm just glad we didn't draft another like foreign guy that has a lot of question marks attached to him.
Yeah, you didn't want Jakachonis.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't want another point guard that turns the ball over.
Yeah, a lot. That's fair.
Yeah, but anyways, we'll see how it goes. I think home run pick, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The winner, a guy that can shoot and come off the bench. Then just a couple of small notes. In the second round, we got our guy, John Tonjay. BYU fans will be very familiar with him because he cooked them in the March Madness.
He was the only reason Wisconsin was even in that game.
Yeah, so if anything, I think he'll probably ball out in summer league.
Yeah, I hope so.
And then maybe get some minutes in garbage time, or who knows, maybe he'll surprise us.
Yeah.
And then we also do sign two-way free agent RJ Lewis.
Great player.
Another March Madness guy from St. John's. He actually had kind of a stinker when they got eliminated in the tournament, but he was... St. John's best player all year.
Yeah, Rick Pitino like benched him that game or something. He was playing really bad.
But he seems like a guy that kind of does a little bit of everything. So
all three of those guys, Clayton, Tonjay, and RG Lewis, just kind of older, really good college players. Why not? I mean, it doesn't, especially with the last two guys, it doesn't hurt to just give them a couple games, give them a season, see how they go.
Yep.
Not bad.
Well, and then we've got Summer League coming next week.
Yes, sir. Starting,
looks like next Saturday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we've got the Sixers, the Grizzlies, and the Thunder coming out.
Ooh, so let's go.
I would say if you can get out to the Grizzlies, Cedric Coward's going to be really fun to watch.
Yep.
If you haven't watched his highlights before, he's the 11th pick. Grizzlies traded up.
Yep.
Sixers, you'll be able to see VJ Edgecombe.
We got Thomas Sorber is going to be there for the Thunder. Neat Clifford.
Although Sorber might have a foot injury. I don't know if he's back yet.
He got traded to the Kings. I'm trying to think who else the Thunder took. I feel like they had a bunch of picks. I guess not. But
I mean, maybe Topic from last year.
Oh, that's true.
Thunder still have Topic.
That would be cool.
He never actually played and got a ring. It's crazy.
Yeah. Maybe Dylan Jones.
You'll definitely see
played
Dylan
last
Jones.
Year, but. You know, players play multiple years often, so
I'm sure there'll be some Weber State get people in the crowd.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a solid group.
Yeah. With so obviously Jazz are gonna have the opportunity to play all those teams. Jazz, it's gonna be we might just have our full roster on the Summer League.
Yeah.
Who are you hoping that the Jazz include in Summer League this year?
obviously Ace Bailey and Walter Clayton, right? So absolutely, they should probably start, if anything. And yep, then, I mean, probably all the guys from last year, Filipowski, yeah, Cody Williams,
Collier.
The real guy, I'm not sure. Kessler should not.
No.
He did last year, and I think he's already proven himself. Like, Deontay, you don't really did
last
to
year. I don't think he probably...
I think they can probably be good now.
Yeah.
Hendricks, I think, could benefit from it.
Yeah.
But...
just depends I'm where his injury is. I'm not sure
what he's thinking with his injury. Yeah. But I think maybe he should at least play in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
For the fans, and then he can decide what he wants to do in Vegas.
Absolutely. I could see... like Collier and him and maybe Sensabaugh playing like kind of like last year with Keontae. He played like one game for 10 minutes just to get some basketball going. Yeah,
honestly,
going.
Play in Salt Lake because the fans want to see you, and then in Vegas, do whatever you want. You know,
just send them all home. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, probably the last two drafts, and then Hendricks is a question mark. Hopefully he plays.
Yeah, looking at our roster, Tanjay, I think, will be there. RJ Lewis, hopefully. Cody Williams, maybe Jaden Springer. I don't really know where we're at there.
Maybe we could get Taco Fall back.
Micah Potter seems like a permanent installation on our Oscar Tshiebwe, maybe. I don't know. Doesn't hurt, I guess. But yeah, we're going to have a lot of actual roster guys out there, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Going to be cool. I'm excited.
Yeah, well, overall, I think you got a lot to be excited for with the draft.
Absolutely.
And then, we'll be excited for Summer League. But... we can also get to some NBA news.
Yeah.
I think
there's a lot.
Honestly, since there's been a week since we've done the episode, some of these might kind of be old news.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about them anyways because they're big trades.
Yep.
So let's go all the way back to last week. I think after we stopped recording this happened later that day. Durant got traded to the Rockets. And on the episode, I remember us talking about him maybe going to the Rockets, the Timberwolves. I think we both liked him going there. But I guess of all the destinations that he could have gone, how well do you think he'd fit on the Rockets as opposed to maybe some of those other spots?
I think Rockets is a good fit. I think my biggest question mark with any team for KD was, are they going to send their entire depth, all their depth to get him? Which would have just turned into the Phoenix situation again. But somehow Houston kept most of their roster. They really didn't give up that much for KD.
Honestly, I think they look better without Jalen Green, but that's
absolutely.
I don't want to hate on him. He's I think a Dylan good
Brooks hurts a little because I think he was like a big piece for their defense. But
KD can take his spot.
Absolutely, you still got Amen
Thompson.
I can never remember which Thompson brother. Yeah. You still got him. You got Jabari Smith. You got Şengün. You kept Fred VanVleet. He re-signed.
And on a cheaper deal.
Yeah. I think Reed Shepard's going to play a bigger role this year. I've heard he's working his way up. So I think, and for one first-round pick is insane.
Yeah, I don't know.
5 second-round picks? It
seems like maybe the Rockets lowballed, and their lowball was still better than all the other teams. Just because they've got so much stuff, they didn't even really have to give up much.
I heard Miami's best offer had... like the best player in there was Andrew Wiggins, which I was like, okay, they were never going to get KD with that. Yeah,
they didn't have enough assets. No. And then I feel like Timberwolves were probably the same, where they probably just had like Dillingham and something.
Rumor is KD didn't want to be in Minnesota either. I heard Minnesota offered up Gobert, but I don't know how true that is. It could be true.
Yeah, it could be a rumor. But I think if he's wanting to win a championship, the Rockets is a good spot.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, take KD off this team, they're probably a lock for the playoffs.
Yeah.
With KD, I think they should be top four seed.
Yeah. I mean, they were second in the West last year. That's where they finished.
I would probably actually be disappointed if they weren't a top four seed.
Absolutely.
I think that's the expectation. Home court in the
first round. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I'm actually happy for KD. I do like KD a lot. There's been times when it's like the whole Warriors thing I thought was really lame, but I do think he's just incredible talent. I think it's cool that we're going to see the last couple years of his career that he gets to play competitive basketball. That's what he deserves. So,
and then on the other end for the Suns, I'm a little worried about the Suns. I think maybe Devin Booker can play point guard, but it's hard because I think Green's good enough. You have to start him, so it'll probably be Booker too. And Green in the backcourt, and that...
Yeah.
that'll be interesting. I don't know how well they fit.
Yeah, they just went and got Mark Williams too, I believe.
Drafted Maliwak.
And Maliwak, yeah. So it'll be interesting. Center will
be better. I think last year was just Nurkic, basically, and he was injured part of the time. So I like that better. But
if I was a Suns fan, I would have liked to have seen more first-round picks for Kate, especially considering what you gave up to get him, like the return on your investment.
Yeah, even if it's like a late 20s pick, like give us one, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I feel you on that. But big trade nonetheless. We should see the Rockets in the playoffs.
Yep.
And then I don't know how much we want to talk about these other ones, but they're big enough that
there's been a lot of trades this week. Yeah.
I guess we could combine the Celtics made two trades. The first one was sending Jrue Holiday to the Trailblazers for Anfernee Simons, basically.
Yep. And a pick, I think.
Yeah. Oh, and a pick.
Yeah.
I mean, the Trailblazers got Holiday last 2 years ago, whatever, before the Celtics got him.
Yeah.
Now that maybe they just really wanted him.
Yeah.
I actually think Jrue Holiday could get traded again because
I could see it. I don't think he wants to
I don't
be
think
there.
He wants to play on a losing
Portland.
Team.
Yeah.
So who knows if he'll stay, but at least for right now he's on the Trailblazers and that could be a sneaky play in team.
Absolutely.
What do you think about Simons on the Celtics?
I think the Celtics absolutely fleeced the Blazers, to be honest. I don't know.
Simons was a guy we wanted.
Yeah, I like Simons a lot. I think he's an elite shot maker. I think there's reasons that Portland didn't feel like they could build around him, but you don't got to build around him in Boston. You already got your infrastructure there, so I think it's a killer trade for the Celtics. Can't believe they got away with that, but
yeah, I mean, Anfernee Simons is an undersized guard. He's only 6'3".
Yeah.
So, I mean, your defense isn't going to be as good, obviously. That's one of the calling cards of the Celtics. So, I don't know. It's going to kind of be an odd year for them.
Yeah.
Do you expect them to be top 4 seed in the East, even without Porzingis?
Yeah, and Tatum will probably be out for at least half the season.
Yeah.
I think, wasn't it his Achilles he tore?
Yeah.
That's a long injury. There's also rumors that they were looking to trade Derek White, Jaylen Brown. I don't know if those were true, but it seems like Celtics might just have a rebuild down year. I'd be surprised if they were home court in the playoffs, but
yeah, I think you're right, but I think they'll make the playoffs probably like 6-8.
I could see it,
they'll be out of the play-in, but
East isn't that
down
deep.
Year. Yeah. And then I guess Porzingis went to the Hawks.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was mostly a salary dump.
Yeah. Georges Niang ended up on the Celtics.
Good yeah, for dude, the minivan over that's there. Our boy right there.
Yeah. How do you think Porzingis, Trae Young? That's kind of interesting. I'd watch a couple games, see how that goes. But
and they got Derek. No, they didn't get Derek Queen. They got.
They ended up trading. They drafted Derek Queen, traded him to New Orleans.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I don't know. I think Porzingis could be a good fit if he plays.
That's true.
Because there's a chance he might not even stay healthy.
Yeah.
If anything, I think he'll be there to start the season.
Interesting enough, the Hawks had 2 first-round picks and they traded both of them. So they didn't draft any players, interestingly. Mm.
And I know they got, this was controversial, they got a future, they got the Pelicans pick next year, basically.
Yeah. Which could be a good pick.
To
maybe
trade down. Yeah. So honestly, I don't think the Pelicans are going to be that good.
No, they might be a little better.
That could be a lottery pick. They could have 2 lottery picks next year.
Yeah, I totally agree. So the Pelicans are such a wild card. I feel like they'll probably come up when we start talking about the draft a little more, but Pelicans have the weapons, especially getting Jordan, well, going to the Jordan pool, who we're going to talk about next. They traded McCollum to the Wizards for Jordan Poole, and there's some other pieces in there.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, Jordan Poole was a really good player for the Warriors. Washington was just a bad situation for him. So it makes me wonder if we'll see the old Jordan Poole back. And if you can get Zion healthy, you got a couple really good picks. Herb Jones is back from injury, so I don't know.
They just have a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
They do.
And I don't know how it's all going to web and fit together.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Because I would argue they have a lot of talented players. I just don't know how well they'll play.
And I honestly believe that they'll only be as good as Zion will take him, and he's obviously not taking them.
Yeah. And maybe you think about moving on from him.
Absolutely.
The Hawks actually did get Asa Newell. Oh. I found as well. So they did draft him.
Okay, I missed that.
Which I actually like because he can run pick and rolls with Trey Young, throw lobs and stuff.
That's right.
So not a bad pick.
That's not a bad pick.
And
yeah.
he was supposed to go higher, so they got a good grade on that.
Absolutely.
And then the next trade, Jordan Poole got traded to the Pelicans. You just mentioned that. And then mm-hmm. McCollum went to the Wizards. I don't really have much to say about this, honestly. No. Just kind of.
I don't hate it for either
trade.
Team.
It's just okay.
Wizards needed to get away from Poole. He needed to get away from them.
Yeah.
Why not? McCollum's a good return, I think. So.
I actually like the Wizards a lot more after this because mm-hmm. They've got veterans. Like you see the Pistons last year. They brought in Tobias Harris, Malik Beasley, Tim Hardaway, and they actually were decent.
Yeah.
Now look at the Wizards. They got CJ McCollum, Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
And then they surround them with rookies. I think that's actually not looking too bad. I don't think they'll be very, very good next year, but I like adding CJ McCollum.
If you're rebuilding, those are the type of pieces you want to add.
Exactly.
So, along with your picks. And then today, like as of a couple hours ago, Lonzo Ball traded for Isaac Okoro. I believe it was just straight up, right? Or was there picks? I can't remember.
I didn't see it.
But
basically straight up.
Either way, kind of an interesting... I don't hate it for either team. Kind of same with the last one. I don't know if I have much to say about it.
Yeah. I don't know how good Lonzo will be, but if he's any shade of what he used to be before he lost his knee, he'll be good.
Absolutely. Still a great facilitator, I'm sure. We'll just see where the shot comes and the defensive ability.
Yeah.
That's been their struggle, I think. I think we continually see it's hard to have two small guards like Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland guarding in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So you need big guards like Lonzo. If he can guard, I think he'd be a good piece for him.
Yeah. Then taking it to the kind of back to the draft.
Yep.
Maybe I know we're both going to say the Jazz are a winner.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you saying that?
I think so. Yeah.
Probably. I'd say the Jazz are winners. So we'll say the Jazz is a winner, but maybe outside the Jazz, is there like maybe one or two teams that you have as a winner?
I think Spurs are a winner. I think obviously Dylan Harper was the easy pick, but Carter Bryant was a great pick at 14.
Yes.
I think both of those players, the Spurs are getting kind of scary. Low-key, I feel like they're loading up pretty good. Another team, I think the Pelicans had a good draft. They got Jeremiah Fears traded to get Derek Queen. Those are both two top, basically projected top 10 guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are probably my winners.
The only thing is they gave up their first round pick next year.
That's true.
To where I'm like, well, this draft doesn't look bad, but maybe next year won't look great.
That's
so
true.
They're kind of banking on Derek Queen to be good.
I think those are my two winners. But who do you think?
So you said Pelicans and Spurs.
Yeah.
I would agree with the Spurs.
Yeah.
Let's see. I would also say a winner for me. Maybe I'll give it... This might be a curveball one. Let's give it to the Kings. Kings didn't have a draft pick, and they ended up getting Nick Clifford.
That's killer.
And so, like, I don't think anybody's talking about that.
That's
but
a great
I
pick.
Think, like, they didn't really give up a lot to trade up to the Thunder, and they end up with Nick Clifford, who I think should have gone in the lottery. He went 24.
Absolutely.
So, great job for the Kings. And then they got Maxime Reynald in the second round, who some people were saying was solid.
Yeah.
And then maybe another winner that I've got, probably the Magic.
Oh,
because they got Jace Richardson. We had him mocked to the Jazz in our mock draft at 21. He goes 25 to the Magic. He comes in and is exactly what the Magic need. They need shooting. So Jace Richardson and Desmond Bane will help them be better next year.
Looking scary. I could see top four in the East next year for the Magic.
Yeah, I think they're right up there with the
Knicks.
The Knicks,
the
Cavs probably will
Pacers
be back.
Pacers will be back. Well,
Pacers,
depending on Halliburton's injury.
Halliburton isn't too bad. So yeah, I'd say probably the Magic and the Kings is like a little sleeper.
Okay. What about your losers of the draft?
Portland Trailblazers.
Oh,
for
okay.
Me.
That was my number one.
Oh, did you? Okay, so you're thinking the same?
Absolutely.
I was just shocked that they
picked Hanson Yang.
But just because they already have Klingon and they already have Robert Williams and DeAndre Ayton, so this is their fourth center, which is fine because I don't think Yang will come in next year like ready to start.
Yeah.
So I think it's fine that he's kind of behind a couple guys. But yeah, I mean, I just think they could have got him at like 25, so they just drafted him way too high.
Yeah, I think we were watching the draft together at your apartment, and we were like looking it up to see where he was ranked. He was like 45th, 48th, 43rd.
I think he worked out for the Jazz.
He did work out for our second round pick.
Yeah.
I just don't, and the Portland traded up to get this pick.
No, they traded down.
Oh, they traded down.
They were 11, so they went from 11 to 16.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
So a little better than drafting him at 11, but.
It's just, I just feel like you really didn't, maybe they knew something we didn't, like maybe a team in the 20s was going to take him. It was, just, I just feel like it was so unnecessary, but this could turn into a Jokic pick where we were totally wrong about him, so yeah. We'll see. It's a big question mark, though. Who else, yeah, any other losers you were thinking?
I'm just looking through. Some teams didn't have a draft pick. I think that could be a loser, but not really. Maybe another loser could be the Clippers.
They didn't have a pick, right? Or did
they had the 30th pick, and they drafted Yannick Kohnen-Niederhauser, who I also have never heard of. They could have got Rashear Fleming there. They could have got a couple centers that were still on the board. So, I mean, but it is the 30th pick. Like, it's okay. But maybe the Clippers. I don't know. Is there anybody else you were thinking?
I think a big loser for me was the Brooklyn Nets.
Ooh, interesting.
I actually really don't hate the Yegor. I think it's a good fit for Yegor. I don't think they've made the wrong pick at 8. But then they proceeded to take, like, they had five first-round picks. And to me, they almost took the same exact player at every pick. Like, they got Nolan Traore, who's a foreign playmaker, like Yegor. And then they took Ben Seraph, who's the same guy. Danny Wolf's a little different, I guess, but...
pick. Danny Wolf's still a passer, though.
It seemed like kind of a chaotic draft for them. Like, I wonder if they were just, like, auto-picking or something. I don't know what was going on over there. I wasn't a fan of their...
Maybe their strategy is we're going to draft 5 rookies so that we're going to play all of them and have the best odds next year.
Yeah, maybe that's what they were thinking.
Because, they don't really have many people under contract, so...
Or maybe they were just thinking, hey, if we take all 3 of these guys, one of them's going to hit.
Yeah, it's like...
At least we'll be 1 for 3.
Yeah, it's like blindfolded darts again. Yeah,
because honestly, if any of those guys turns into what they are like kind of projected to be, which is kind of I kind of see them all as kind of a Ben Simmons pre... His confidence, just a great passer.
Yeah.
Pretty decent. Yegor could use some work on defense, but I think he could get there.
I've also heard this take, and I like it, with Yegor. Because I think we could consider ourselves we scouted Yegor quite a bit.
We know him the best in all the draft, probably.
We probably know him of all prospects.
Yeah.
The thing with Yegor is he's a phenomenal passer. He can make passes that very few people can. But that skill alone just doesn't get you very far. You've got to either be able to like be a downhill driver... Or like mid-range pull, you got to be able to score as well. Like, it's great to pass, but if they know you're going to pass every time, they're not going to respect you as a shot creator, as a shooter. And so I think the biggest thing with Yegor, he's got to develop his offensive game outside of the passing. And I think he's got the frame that NBA scouts drool over.
Yeah,
6'8", 6'9", right? So I think he has got defensive potential, but really, he's only got passing right now. So he's got to work on like all those other skills that he'll need to be successful.
Yeah, I totally agree. I saw an NBA scout talk. He said, I think it was an NBA scout on a podcast was talking about how had Yegor never gone to college, he probably would have been like a consensus top 5 pick. Because his time at BYU... Like, you're totally right. Like, incredible passer, probably the best passer in the draft. But we pretty consistently saw Yegor, like, scared to shoot, pretty much.
Yeah.
Apparently, teams were impressed by his shooting ability at the combine, but yeah, there's no, as far as what we've seen, we don't know if that's going to translate to in-game because he's got to actually shoot and take shots. So
yeah, and if anything, I think playing in college, like, it accelerates his development, because if you just stay overseas and just kind of ball out over there without as good of competition, it'll take a little bit longer for you to develop. So I think the year at BYU, I think, is tremendous for him, because if anything, he's still raw prospect, but I think he's seeing the kind of skills that he needs, whereas maybe overseas he would have just been a little bit more dominant and not had to worry.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Luca, I mean, I think in my mind, I kind of agree with the scout. I see what you're saying. I think it's kind of like, it at least leaves a question in the scout's mind of like, oh, he could probably do that over here. But like, he went to college and all of a sudden it was like, oh, maybe he can't. You know what I mean? Like, so it probably hurt him that way.
But scouts a more real take of what you got.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I think there's a lot of people looking for their Luka Doncic's though, so.
It's fair.
Some dumb team would have taken a chance, probably.
Luka only comes every 20 years.
That's true. That's true.
So, interesting stuff.
Yup.
Should we take it to some hockey?
Let's do. Hockey draft last night. Busy week for the Utah sports. I think I saw, it was Tony Finau. I don't know if you saw that he announced our pick.
Oh, really?
A golfer.
Utah legend, here
from Utah, yeah. That was pretty cool. What do you think of, I mean, we're really not hockey guys, but do you have any thoughts on the draft? I think we got a guy.
I was looking at like the grades and, or not the grades, but just like the description of the guy that we got. Let me see if I can find his name.
Desnoyers? I don't know how to say that.
Okay, yeah. Caleb Desnoyers is his name, right? So yeah, we got him fourth overall. He's a center, which is good. I basically heard that people project him as like a solid, I'm learning all these terms, second unit guy.
Yeah.
So basically like your second, because like I think you have four or five units in hockey, right?
Yeah.
So like it's your backup starters.
Yeah, that's not
so
bad.
I think they project him as like a solid second unit center, possibly first unit.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think the first three guys drafted were projected as first unit guys. So, I mean, it's not as good as the top three picks, but we weren't even meant to get the fourth pick.
No, jumped 10
so
spots.
I think we're grateful to get him where we would have probably been at like, what, 10?
Yeah. I just looked it up too. NHL draft is going on as we speak. And the Mammoth just took Max Pesnika?
Oh, they did?
Defender, which it seems like we had a lot of injuries with our defensemen last year. So I'm sure it's good that we're getting some more depth.
Yep.
At least some guys developing a little
bit. And I think there's seven rounds in this draft. So, I mean, you've got your farm system going.
Yeah.
You've got the seven rounds. So I'm sure a lot of these guys will probably be question marks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but at least that first guy, it seems like he'll be a second or third unit guy.
Yeah, it's funny. Last year when we were at the draft, we were like so hyped about, was it TJ Ginla?
Yeah.
There was another guy. But like we just didn't see him because that's not how hockey doesn't generally work.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for TJ Ginla to make it up to the to the big leagues, but I guess
so we're still learning hockey. Yeah.
But the Mammoth also made a trade. Don't ask me much about this guy, but they traded for this guy named JJ Peterka, and they traded for two defensemen, Michael Kesslering and Josh Doan.
Yeah, we heard both those guys' names a lot last year, Philly.
Yeah, so we gave up two defensemen, but this guy, he's like a young star in this league.
Yeah.
I think last season it looks like he had 27 goals, 41 assists.
That's crazy.
So he's like a pretty solid player.
Yeah.
And he's right wing or forward. So if anything, I think JJ Peterka will be one of like our goal scorers up there with Clayton Keller and Dylan Gunther in them. So I'm still a hockey rookie, but I think I like goals.
We're slowly getting there. Yeah.
I like goals, so I think JJ Paterka is going
to
hopefully.
I'm no hockey expert, but I think you're supposed to score more goals. I think that's how we can get better, so.
Yeah, definitely. And Paterka was selected in the second round of the 2020 draft. So I mean, it's taken him 5 years from the second round, so
yeah.
I guess it does take time for these guys, and he's from Germany.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Well, not paying attention to BYU sports. I think we're in the golden age right now. BYU just pulled in the number 3 recruit in the country, Ryder Lyons. Commits to BYU, 5-star quarterback. I think it's our second five, maybe third 5-star quarterback program history at BYU, which is pretty awesome.
Jake Heaps,
yeah. I think I was watching something the other day. There was another one, but I can't remember. Anyways, just super awesome. He committed to us over Oregon and USC and I think Michigan, which is just crazy to me. So it's pretty cool. The fact that here in, well, I think Ryder Lyons is going on a mission, but we'll have him and AJ DeBonso within a couple of years span. It's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
It looks like I can't find the other guy, but Tanner Mangum was a 4-star.
Oh, that's right.
Jaron Hall was only a 3-star.
Yeah.
Is it Ben Olsen? Does that sound familiar? That's probably not right.
Name doesn't sound familiar to me, but it could be.
But anyways, Jake Heaps was, and then Ryder Lyons.
Yeah. Hopefully it turns out better than the Jake Heaps situation, because that we didn't really handle that one that well. I remember that was the year we went 2 quarterbacks every other drive with Riley Nelson, and that was not, I don't know who came up with that idea.
It didn't really work out too well. But yeah, Ryder, he's going to go on a 1-year mission. I'm assuming it's like a service mission or something.
Yeah.
But he'll be here for, what is that? So probably not next year, but the year after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think fits our timeline, where I don't think he would have come in and start right away right now. So,
yeah, and I mean, we've still got all the allegations going on with Jake Retzlaff.
Yeah.
But
I saw last night.
Wait and see what.
Apparently, Jake Retzlaff's lawyers have responded now. Their statement was that Jake Retzlaff denies that it was non-consensual, but that something did happen.
Yeah.
Which means that he probably still won't play for BYU this year, because that's also an honor code violation. So,
yeah, that's
unfortunately
fair
for him.
So, who's. Yeah, I mean, if Retzlaff is out, like, who. Do you know who's our QB?
Yeah, it's going to be. I think it'll be between Treyson Borgetts and McKay Hillstead. Both those guys. McKay Hillstead, I believe, started at Utah State for a season. Treyson Borgetts also really good. We also have Bear Bachmeier, who's a 4-star, but he just got here, so I'd be surprised if he's able to pick up the offense in 80 days or whatever, however long we have till the season starts. So,
yeah, I mean, out of those two guys, I don't want to throw you under the bus, but do you think like Hillstead or Borgett, like which one of those guys do you?
I like Treyson Borgetts a lot. I feel like McKay Hillstead would be the safe pick, but I think Treyson Borgetts has a lot of upside. Seems like his arm strength is really up there, what I've seen. So
it'd be interesting to see. I am not familiar with either of them, because I think last year we had we had Bohannon.
Yeah.
He was the only backup came in. And then we also had like Noah Lugo.
Yeah.
But I don't think
both
he
those
ever
guys
played.
Were here. They were all just kind of in our
so they these guys were kind of so deep under the depth chart that I didn't really become familiar with them.
Yeah, the only thing I think I feel good about, Treyson Borgetts, I think this is his third year at BYU. I could be wrong, maybe just.
It looks like he was here in 2022.
Okay. So I would feel good about like the fact that he at least knows the offense. I think that's, I really don't think that Jake Retzlaff was that good. Like, I think he played well enough that the weapons around him really made it a good season, but I don't think he was, the gap was that huge, you know what I mean? So, I don't know.
We'll see. Correction, Treyson Borgetts, he was actually the QB in 2022 and 2023 for Western Michigan.
Oh, that's him. Okay, I forgot about that.
So, yeah, he was all right there. He had a couple touchdowns. I don't think he started.
Yeah.
But he was all right. He had at least 100-plus rating. both seasons.
That's not bad.
In Western Michigan. So,
two like experienced guys. I think I'm pretty sure Hillstead started at Utah State. I don't remember how many games, but
yeah,
he's also an experienced starter that knows our offense. So,
yeah, he had 11 touchdowns, 8 interceptions over there. So nothing crazy.
Not horrible.
But he does have more. He might have. Honestly, they both have similar experience because Bourget played 2 seasons, mm-hmm. a little bit here and there, but then I think Hillstead played the 1 season just as much as the 2. So they have similar experience. It'll probably be a battle to see who gets it.
We'll see what happens. We're also going to kind of learn what BYU is like now with, because Brandon Davies, what was it? He had to sit a whole season because of that. Yeah. And
it cost us the tournament.
Yeah, pretty much. So we'll see. I mean, maybe Retzlav will only get a couple games or suspension or something. Maybe he'll have to sit the whole year. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz podcast. We've got a lot to be excited about with the draft, one of the best drafts we've had in years. And we also got Summer League coming up, so get ready for that. Make sure to follow us on all the platforms, Spotify, Apple, YouTube. Check out our last couple episodes and stay with us during this off season as we learn more about these new rookies coming in as we go through Summer League and get ready for the next season. We'll go ahead and see you next week and take care.